Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Old Testament? Moses wrote some of the first five books of the Old Testament, if not all five books. These five books are called the Law, or the Law of Moses. It's called the Law of Moses because he's the one who received it from God to write down and pass on to the Jewish people. In Exodus 24, verse 4, it says, Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. In many verses of the New Testament, it refers to the Law of Moses when it's trying to teach that it's not in effect anymore. That's Colossians 2, verse 14, and Romans 10, 4. It says that the Messiah, in Romans 10, 4, is the end of the law, that is the Law of Moses, for all who believe in the Messiah. It's not the end of the American law, it's not the end of any other law, but Christ is the end of the Mosaic Age law. Several other inspired men wrote the rest of the Old Testament. Solomon wrote most of the book of Proverbs and the Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes. King David wrote most of the book of Psalms, which were songs about his joys, his sorrows, and his needs. He also spoke of the Christ in the Psalms, and that's in Psalms 2, verse 7, Psalm 22, and various other places as well. Now, several men called prophets spoke words from God that were written down. Men such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. King David was also called a prophet in Acts 2, 29, and 30. Others contributed to the writings, and the Jews were the keepers and the collectors of these writings, and all of them have been copied and translated over the years and delivered to us today. Who wrote the New Testament? The New Testament was written by eight inspired men. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, all scriptures God breathed. They were inspired men, these eight men. Matthew, he was a tax collector. Mark, John was a fisherman. Paul was a tent maker. These are the men who wrote the Bible, the New Testament. James was a carpenter. Peter was a fisherman. Jude was a carpenter. And Luke was a physician, a doctor. Seven of them were Jews. Luke is believed to have been a Gentile. 14 of the 27 books in the New Testament are believed to have been penned by Paul. Five by John, two by Luke, two by Peter, one by Matthew or Levi, one by Mark, one by James, and one by Jude. The books were written approximately between 33 AD and 120 AD, and they were circulated amongst the gatherings of the believers. Colossians 4:16 says, when this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And for your part, read my letter that's coming from Laodicea. The books were circulated. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, he actually quotes from the Gospel of Matthew. 1 Timothy 5:18, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he's threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. So the first part of that verse is Deuteronomy 25:4, and the second part of that verse is either Matthew 10:10 or Luke 10:7. So Paul called both of those things scriptures. He says in 1 Timothy 5:18, the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox. That's a direct quote. So he called those things scripture. And that was in 1 Timothy 5:18. He was quoting from Matthew 10 and Luke 10. So they were circulated amongst the believers. Matthew's gospel and perhaps Luke's were circulated at that time. Now, the 27 books of the New Testament were written in the Greek language of that day. Consider the credibility of the New Testament writers, these eight men. Consider their credibility. How credible are they, or were they? Matthew, John, and Peter were apostles. Apostles were 12 specially chosen men who were eyewitnesses of Jesus when he was on the earth. You can see that in Luke 6:13, Mark 3:14, etc. In this way, as eyewitnesses, they could be the best people to credibly tell others about the Lord and what he did. And the apostles were with Jesus since the beginning of his ministry. In Luke 3:23, it's mentioned there that Jesus started his ministry at about the age of 30. And then in Acts 1:22, We read scripture that tells us when someone had to replace Judas, who was an apostle who fell away from the Lord and was condemned, they had to replace him to have 12 apostles instead of 11, that it must be somebody that was with them from the baptism of John up until Jesus was taken up into heaven. So these apostles were very credible eyewitnesses of the work of Jesus and his majesty. Now, if there was an auto accident or an accident in a country involving animals or some kind of tragedy or slight problem that occurs, and the police and the authorities have to get involved, who do they go find first? They find eyewitnesses, if they can, to credibly tell them what happened, if they don't lie about it. And if you were there and on the crime scene, but you didn't see it happen, you came 5 minutes later, and you say, yeah, I got here 5 minutes later, they'll say, well, I don't really want to talk to you. I want to find somebody that saw it happen. Do you know anybody that saw it happen? So credibility is important when we report things. And these apostles were eyewitnesses. They're very credible. Paul also was a specially chosen eyewitness of Jesus, and he was called an apostle. But Paul only saw Jesus in a vision in Acts 9, 1 through 7. But Jesus used Paul mightily to spread the gospel, perhaps equally or even in greater measure than some of the other apostles, since Paul likely wrote 14 of the 27, over half of the books of the New Testament. Mark, who is believed to have written part of the New Testament, he was a traveling companion of the apostle Paul. In Acts 12, 25, it mentions that. Mark also was called John, not John the Apostle, but John. He was called John Mark. And Luke, the physician, the doctor, traveled with Paul. He was traveling with Paul throughout the book of Acts. You can see that when the writer of Acts, which is believed to be Luke, he sometimes used the word we to indicate that he was with Paul the Apostle when he traveled. And that's in Acts 16:10. As traveling companions of the Apostle Paul. Both Mark and Luke would have understood firsthand from the Apostle what the new message was all about. Now, James and Jude were followers of Jesus, and they were actual brothers to him. Galatians 1:19, Mark 6:3, and Acts 1:14 indicate that. Therefore, they would be credible witnesses of their New Testament books that they wrote. In A.D. 397, the Council of Carthage gave their formal acceptance of the 27 books in the New Testament. Now, here's the conclusion about this credibility issue, that even though both Testaments were written by several inspired men from different generations, each book of both the Old and the New Testaments fits together like a finished puzzle. They're woven together like one multicolored cloth, showing forth a unified picture of past, present, and future, especially in regards to the Messiah. No wonder the Bible is said to be inspired. Why are other books not in the Bible? Let's consider that further. There are at least three excellent reasons that can be given for why other books are not included in the Bible. First and foremost, they're not considered to be inspired by God. For example, several books appeared between the period of both the Old and the New Testaments. These have been grouped into what is called the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha has been widely disputed as to whether it's inspired or not. The Catholic Bible includes some of the Apocrypha books, yet most any other Bible does not. Number two, the final and completed message has already been given to us. Jude says in Jude 3, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly, vigorously for the faith which was once for all delivered, given nearly 2,000 years ago. Number three, warnings of the severest punishment await those who add or take away from the previously established message of Jesus Christ. And we read that in Galatians 1, 6 through 9, which we already covered previously. And if the Bible was a person, we already covered it there. But Paul said, even though myself or anyone else preaches a different message, he's going to be accursed. In Revelations 22, 18 and 19, it says, I testify to anyone who hears these words, that if you add to the words of the prophecy of this book, God's going to add you all these plagues, terrible plagues. And if you take away, he's going to take away your part from the tree of life. You can't go to heaven. The book of God is extremely important to know, to understand, and to handle correctly so that you'll have your chance to receive eternal life. The word of God is extremely important in the believer's life. Here's the conclusion. There must be great care and spiritual discernment used, mature spiritual discernment used to determine what should be considered the word of God. God gave us his inspired, very credible word. Now it's up to us to understand it well in order to please him. At this time, you should complete the introductory lesson test.